no was a complete sentence, and it was okay for me to say it when it was better for me to be taking care of me.
Wake up! It's a beautiful morning and time to ignite the greatness within you. This is the Motivational Monday podcast, and here's your host, Abigail Autry.
We oversubscribe on our yeses. We often burn ourselves out because we've not learned the art of saying no.
I just wasn't sure. Was it the job that was really weighing me down, or was it the lifestyle that I had created as a result of the job?
Every Monday morning, my goal is to bring you an array of motivating and inspiring coaches, authors, keynote speakers, entrepreneurs, and fitness gurus to share their perspectives on motivation to awaken the sleepy giant within you. Plus, you get a taste of their secret sauce on success habits, ninja tips on staying healthy as well as happy, and personal insights as to how they transformed failures, guess what, into fortunes, equipping you with the power tools to make those powerful moves. Welcome to this week's Motivational Monday, the show that guarantees you the motivation you need to thrive throughout the week. Tracy DeForge is a business development strategist who has a proven track record of success in launching new businesses and directing operations throughout North America. Tracy's repertoire of clients comprise of the Hilton, the Marriott, British Airways, Google, Microsoft, and Weight Watchers International, to name just a few. And if that wasn't enough, Tracy has since expanded her entrepreneurial portfolio with the launch of Produce Your Podcast. The show provides inspiration and tactile tips on how to navigate through the all-important intersection between personal and business growth. Tracy facilitates workshops and classes in cities all across the country, including Stanford University. She is featured on CNN and is a contributor for Inc.com. Is there anything she hasn't done? Let's find out from the lady herself. Hey, Tracy, welcome to this week's episode.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am great. How are you, my dear? Looking fabulous. In your photo.
Well, thank you. I just don't know if I can even talk on this episode because I just like hearing you talk. So maybe you could just talk the whole time and I could just listen. You're so fabulous.
No. It's got to be equal. But thank you for the compliment. Thank you very much. Now, you know, you are, your profile is super loaded. You're trailblazing with all that you do. But I'm intrigued to establish the why behind the work you do and what initially got you started.
Oh, wow. So how much time do we have?
30 minutes.
Okay. Well, then I'll give you the Reader's Digest. So essentially the first half of my career was in commercial broadcast radio. Mm-hmm. And I was primarily on the management side. And that's important, not the management side part, but the commercial radio part, because it's always just been a part of who I am. Slept with an AM radio under my pillow when I was little. And it's just always been a true love of mine. And as it still is, but after really putting myself through, like kept taking on more responsibility at the age of 30, I was managing 12 radio stations in the large, outside the Atlanta metro, which is the, golly, I think it's like the 10th largest radio market in the country. So you could say it was like a little stressful.
Yeah.
And so I made a decision that was very difficult for my wealth, not for my wealth, trust me, for my wellness and my health and my spirituality, to step away from that. And when I made that decision, it was at a time where I was, emotionally, spiritually, and bankrupt in those senses, but honestly was making more money than most people would at the age that I was. But it was killing me, literally killing me. So I started working. I started my own business at that point, and I realized that there were a lot of other female entrepreneurs at the time. So now this is like 12 years ago, and even then, I mean, it's sad that still now that there's still a lot of conversations and barriers around women entrepreneurs versus male entrepreneurs. But in 2005, when I started my own business, there were just no resources. There was no access. There was just, everybody was trying to figure out, how to do what it is that they wanted to do. And so although I initially started in marketing and communications, my heart and my passion ended up following women entrepreneurs because I was one, and we had all these like-minded challenges. So as a result of that, I, for the last 12 years, although you read off a wonderful collection of Fortune 500 clients that I have enjoyed tremendously, I've always been really passionate about helping women in business and women entrepreneurs. And that led to ultimately about 10 years later when I started Journey to There, which is my podcast, mm-hmm. and it's an extension of my consulting business, because I just myself kept revisiting some of my same challenges again and again. And I also observed by working with thousands of women entrepreneurs at this point that we have this whole struggle between separating business and personal when actually it's not separate, it's intersected. And when there's something going on in our personal life, it affects our growth of our business. And when there's something going on in our business life, it can affect our personal relationships. So that is mm-hmm. my last 12 years in a nutshell.
Thank you. I'm really keen to get into that side of things a lot more in that conversation. So we'll kind of hit the pause on that, but I'm looking forward to expanding that some more. What would you say, because you know you're competent in a number of areas, but what would you say you consider to be your zone of genius?
Oh, wow. That's such a great question. I mean, because I have been recognized for everything from building out a franchise to reinventing monetary models for Fortune 500, business models for Fortune 500 companies, and just about everything in between. I've even launched a cookie food product line for a client. So, you know, amazing. It goes all the way around the bend. However, I think what it is that's the common denominator between all these things that might seem very fragmented mm-hmm. is that I have the ability to provide insight plus action. And what I mean by that is that most business development strategists or consultants in general, they are there to help with the strategy and the vision and really consult on what to do. But what I do is unique in that it's not only just helping people see what it is that they need to do and how that might benefit them, but then actually going a step further and providing them step-by-step roadmaps and action plans so that they can actually implement change. Because one of the biggest things about personal or professional change is that you can get inspired and motivated and see a clear path. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know how to actually take that first step or do those first few things to make a change, then you always end up getting stuck or back into the same place again. So
couldn't agree with you more. And too many people at times wait and procrastinate. They wait until they're great, until they get started. But I love that quote that says you don't have to wait to be great, to start, but you start and then you become great at what you do.
Or it's just great that you start.
Yeah.
That's one thing that is for sure is that, you know, if you start, it'll be great if you start. And then when you do, cheers to what's possible, right?
And, indeed.
But that is, you know, strategy and execution as a consultant is, I didn't even realize it. It's just always been my nature. It's always come natural to me. But what I didn't understand is that there are only 6% of people in the industry that actually do strategy and execution. So that is something that I didn't know it. Like I said, somebody explained that to me. And then I think I read it in a Forbes article or something like that. I was like, because it's so natural to me. I'm like, doesn't everyone do strategy and execution? but they don't. And one other thing that I think makes me stand out, and I do it by design, is that I always keep a business, as you could tell, or two.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the idea of being a consultant that's not in the trenches with my clients, because I would like to be able to say, last week in my business, this happened. And it's like it's in real time, not just, you know, 10 years ago when I was running 12 radio stations, let me tell you how that went. You know, it's just like, that's old data, right? So...
Oh, it's beautiful, because then people can connect with you even the more, you know, it makes you even the more authentic with what you do. Now, you alluded earlier on to the fact that you had taken on a lot of work. You were managing a number of different radio stations, and as a result, you're finding that it was kind of depleting your health. What help, kind of hints and tips would you give for the busy sort of execs, entrepreneurs, 9-to-5ers out there for harnessing more energy?
Oh, okay. So this is really a huge soapbox for me. I'm going to try to say it shortly again. You can tell I have very detailed stories. But the first thing I want to say is that workaholism is real, and it's getting a lot more recognition now in terms of people being comfortable talking about it and things like that. But when I experienced my crash from being a workaholic, it was in 2004, and honestly, first of all, I was so young. I was female in a male-dominated industry, so it was hard to be taken seriously anyway. Blonde, big boobs, southern accent. I mean, you know, you line it up. I had all the skeptics out there. But at the same time, I was taking on, it was progressive, just like any other addiction. I kept, you know, I was successful at 3 stations, and then I took on 6, and then I took on 12 in 2 different geographic markets, because like the more I got acclimated to the amount of responsibility, the more I craved having more of it. So I always say that workaholism is the one addiction where you get accolades instead of intervention. So just being mindful that that is, you know, a lot of people deem their self identity. I mean, I can say for myself, I defined myself. My identity was connected to what it is that I did, and separating that was almost traumatic for me to be able to see that and do that. And then secondly, like you were saying about harnessing the energy, I think it's important to be mindful of your energy in the first place, because being aware that you are depleted is really important, because I was on empty probably, you know, a long time before I ever even acknowledged that I was depleted. I hadn't seen my family in the for the holidays in like 3 years. I had chronic bronchitis for 1.5 years. I mean, the list, I went through a divorce with a man that I loved and that loved me. I mean, it's just like, it was crazy, because this passion for succeeding and taking on all of this responsibility just became my primary driver, and everything else went to the side.
This stuff is real, and it's so important. Someone like yourself, who's been on the other side, who can then look back in retrospect and highlight some of the things that perhaps would have contributed to one's own health and its demise. Now, let's go back to what you are quite passionate about, which is the myths associated with business and personal growth. Expand on this for me.
Well, so for me, I love what you said, because it's great that I can share my experience and what happened to me as if it only happened once, which would have been great, because then I would have learned from that first crash. And but the sad thing is, in my story, is that even though that felt like what should have been the bottom for me in my work addiction, I actually, in 2007, which was 3 years later, repeated the process again. And at the same, so what ended up happening was I implied before my real true passion for women entrepreneurs and helping women grow their businesses. And I became affiliated and then ultimately ran and was the CEO of a online and in-person community for women entrepreneurs. And we were a startup. So we were going through an accelerated place of growth, in which I was on a plane all the time. I was I loved every second of it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, but I actually just didn't learn, quote unquote, from my mistakes the first time around. I actually had to have the lesson kick my fanny again. And this time, you know, the second time was just as unhealthy as the first. I had produced an amazing event in New York with speakers like the founders of really large, successful women-owned companies like Annie Ann's Pretzels and Tory Burch, and we had Joan London and Martha Beck. I mean, it was like a fabulous event, and I came off the stage off of it in probably the peak of my career for the second time, but with a lot more global and national and global visibility. And then I realized, like, I have to walk away from this again, because I ended up in the fetal position in front of the toy store in New York, FEO Sports. And, you know, the irony of that's not lost on me. There was no play, because I had worked myself again to a place that was completely unhealthy. And I knew what had happened to me before, so I had to step away, which was now twice. So When I started and had the idea for Journey to There, it was really as a result of the most amazing, beautiful, early 20-year-old girl. She's like a little angel, and I give her full credit for it. We are working together on a project for Weight Watchers International, and she asked me, how is it that you get to do what it is that you do? And I started with I used to run 12 radio stations and like the whole bio. And then I just looked at her and I just said, because I had to learn some really tough lessons and really want to make sure that I can impart those lessons so that people coming up behind me don't find themselves in how did I get here again. And thus Journey to There was born, because I just wanted, I just didn't want anyone else to go through what I went through once, like I did twice. And I personally didn't want to go through it a third time. So I figure, hey, a little accountability, a little lesson, we're good.
Indeed. Looking back, what's one thing you wish you knew back then that you know now?
How to say no. That no is a complete sentence.
Yes.
That it's okay to say no. That no actually can lead to yes in ways that you wouldn't even believe were possible. Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to say no a lot sooner, learn and be comfortable with it. I mean, it's not that I didn't know that no existed. It's just that I was never really fully embraced the fact that it was, that no was a complete sentence and it was okay for me to say it when it was better for me to be taking care of me. Because yes seemed like the way that I needed to please or overachieve or make everybody happy. And then I would be happy because I thought they were happy, but nobody's ever happy. So it's just like an endless struggle.
This is a very important point. And often we find ourselves, I've done this in the past as well. And I'm sure you dear listeners can identify, we oversubscribe on our yeses. We often burn ourselves out because we've not learned the art of saying no. Ladies and gentlemen, when you learn to say no, it means you know your limits. Learn the art of saying no. Okay, Tracy, now this might be quite tricky for you because you've been just crushing it all the way through this conversation with giving us priceless gems of life experiences that you've had. But I want you to perhaps go into a little bit more detail, if you will, by taking us back into time and walk us through one of your darkest hours where you hit the lowest of the low. Walk us through that story.
Oh, well, okay. So I already shared a little bit of the insight on what happened with the second, meltdown in front of the toy store.
Yeah.
But the first one was the hardest, and this is why I think it's so shocking that it would have happened to me again, is that when I was referencing the departure from radio to start my own business, it sounded really inspirational, and it was in terms of like, but what happened to me was this, and I'll just be really direct. I took a 4-week leave of absence because before I made the decision to resign my position, I took a 4-week leave of absence because I honestly didn't know whether it was the lifestyle or the business, because my expenses had risen to meet my income and that had created just this whole cyclical thing, needing to maintain my image and my career and everything that I'd done, and it was exhausting. So I just wasn't sure, was it the job that was really weighing me down, or was it the lifestyle that I had created as a result of the job? So I took a 4-week leave of absence. And then at the end of the 4 weeks, what I realized was, again, the intersection of personal and business growth, it was both. And so I took the leave of absence on March the 8th of that year. And then on April the 8th, 4 weeks later, I made the decision that going back into that level of stress and that level of my career was just not going to allow me to be able to stay as healthy as I would like to have been.
Yeah.
And so and I referenced that during the time that I was going through all that career acceleration and growth, that my husband and I had gotten a divorce, but we So we divorced in 01 and this was in 04, but we had stayed best friends. We had stayed business partners. Mm-hmm. I mean, in essence, he was a wonderful spiritual human being who knew, he was 18 years older than me. So he knew that I needed to do what I needed to do. Yeah. And he gave me the freedom to do that. And so we were still, like I said, soulfully connected, best friends, still had been business partners. And so I resigned on April the 8th and he died on April the 15th of a massive coronary. Yeah. And on April the 8th, when I resigned, I had called him and we had been talking and it was, just a fabulous conversation. And at the end of the conversation, I was like, he was excited because he was like, I get my marketing consulting back for a business that we had built together. And I said, I have so much to share with you about what I've learned. And I said, let's go to lunch. And he said, sure. And I said, I can't go this week, but I can go next week. And the one of the last things he said to me was, no problem. I have plenty of time. And then he died on April 15th and we never had the opportunity for us to go to that lunch. And, so I pretty much, that was so pivotal for me that I live my life on, we don't always have plenty of time.
Wow. What one tangible takeaway would you want our listeners to get from your story?
Well, I think I think based on just like where I am in sharing that story and I don't want to leave it on such a heartbreaking note because it was a lot of powerful life experiences and wonderful gifts have come to me since then. But I will say that, like I said, his last words to me were, other than I love you, thank goodness, I have plenty of time. And so what I would like to say is that you don't get your time back. And so even though you can be awareness, we all have sudden losses or things that happen that change our lives on a dime or in a moment's notice. But, and those are shocking and kind of, you know, get you back into a reality check. But if you can make decisions and answer yes or no, or go right or left based on the knowledge in your heart that you don't get your time back, so choose wisely, that's what I would say.
What would you congratulate yourself for having the courage to do right now?
You know, I'm going to go back to what you asked I would tell my younger self, which is about the word saying no, is that it's not that it's crystal clear easy for me now, but I have really learned the benefit of putting things on the pause button. And so if I feel like I can't say no, but I want to say no, or if I feel like I want to say yes, but I'm not sure it's exactly the right thing to say yes, then I use what I call the pause button and I just put the decision on hold. And sometimes it takes up to 3 days. I give myself a 3-day window. But sometimes you don't get that luxury. But the bottom line is that just don't necessarily react with a yes or a no or a right or a left. Just hit the pause button until you can get really clear with your head, your heart, and your gut. And I'm doing such a much more remarkable job of that at the age old 49 than I was when the other 48 years.
The pause button, indeed. I couldn't agree more. I think that that's a really wise way. Sometimes your heart, ladies and gentlemen, needs more time to accept what your mind already knows. So hit the pause button before you decide. One last question before we go to our break. What are you currently excited about at the moment? Any current passion projects?
Well, I am so excited about podcasting because it is the natural iteration, the next step, if you will, in the chapter of what radio looks like.
That's right.
And it has been such an amazing blessing. Again, I use that word because I'm very... I think expressing gratitude is extremely important. But to be able to do what I do now, basically having the first half of my career based on working in commercial radio, which I loved, and the second half being working with entrepreneurs and business people who are either in transition or starting businesses or reinventing their businesses, to be able to bring podcasting into that element just feels like everything I've worked towards up to this point has now merged together for my next chapter. And I just love the ability for podcasting to be able to change the conversation. Like right now, we're changing the conversation about possible work addiction or how saying no is important to me. We're having a conversation that ultimately can change the conversation for someone else. So I am hugely passionate about podcasting.
After the break, we explore by opening the door with the four keys to mindset mastery, morning routine, managing personal growth, and maintaining health and wellness, which can massively influence our motivational levels. We'll be right back after this. How many of you need a new view, a view from the top? Aaron Walker, a seasoned entrepreneur, life coach, and a featured guest on Motivational Monday, shares his secret sauce in his new book, View from the Top. He helps ordinary people achieve extraordinary things, and you also learn how to make mental shifts that will transform your world from success to significance.
From now on, I'm going to take other people on the journey. I'm going to look outward. I'm going to try to lift people up. I'm going to try to encourage them. And here's what's happened, Abigail. Not only are we more significant in the way we do business now, it's the most successful business I've ever owned.
So why not grab yourself a copy today by going to viewfromthetop.com and start living a life of significance. Okay, Tracy, so I'm going to establish this next point with you, which is looking at your mindset mastery. How do you cultivate a champion's mindset when you're faced with a challenge?
I don't think this will come as a surprise based on the things that I've shared, but I at my core, I go to trust the process, because most often when you're faced with challenges and there are things that need to be accomplished or changed or taken care of, and you may not be able to understand what's happening in the moment, I always have to go back to trust the process, because I do believe that if you are making decisions and you're working towards your goal, that you're going to get detours. They're going to happen. They're going to, whether they're people put in your path or barriers that are put in your path, but they're put in your path to ultimately navigate you to the right decision or to the right experience. And so if I'm in one of those kind of murky, I can't see the way moments or challenges, I just think to myself, okay, I need to trust the process because it hasn't failed me yet. And as you can see, it hasn't failed me yet. So I have really like tangible burning bush examples of how trusting the process has actually led me to many wonderful places. And so I just go to that mode.
Fabulous. Morning routine. What tools or apps or resources do you use to get motivated in the mornings?
Okay, well, I'm a night owl, so that's so unfair. Okay, morning routine. I want to say something just like so like motivating and fabulous, but it's one of my pain points that I struggle with. So I'm just going to be really honest with you and say, I have read, listened to, tried, adapted, worked on everybody else's tips for morning mastery. And I think what my tip will be is to honor your biorhythms and who you are. You can make yourself a morning person or you can make yourself a night person. You're adaptable. But at the end of the day, if you have the opportunity to work in the windows of which your energy is the highest, that's when you're the most productive. So just don't buy into that whole thing about the early bird gets the worm. Just work when you're at your best.
Managing or maintaining personal growth. What one personal development book has been most inspiring to you? Personal or business development book has been most inspiring?
Clearly, you have not been into my library of self-help and business books. So it's hard. It's like trying to pick a favorite child.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick twins. Can I pick two?
One
personal, one business?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm all about the intersection between personal and business growth. So let's do two. Uh-huh. Okay, so one is The Artist Way by Julia Cameron, which may sound like an unusual choice, especially in regards to motivating it on the business side, but it's an amazing book because essentially what she talks about is bringing creativity into your life and how to really flourish and see tangible actions of change as a result of doing really tactical creative exercises. She talks about like morning pages and taking artist dates and things like that. It's a very powerful book. And because creativity ultimately gives you solutions for strategy, I think it's amazing. And just super quick, I'll say probably the book that changed my life in terms of I can attribute a tremendous amount of professional and success as a result of practicing the habits in this book is an oldie but a goodie, but the 7 habits of highly successful people. Yeah. I feel like Stephen Covey literally was my roadmap for the amount of success I was able to achieve at such a young age for the level of responsibility I had at that age. So I couldn't have done it without Stephen Covey. So
it's a good read. And managing health and wellness, what do you specifically do to stay healthy and happy?
Oh, you know, again, being mindful of your energy and following your, okay, so you know the truth. Like, you can tell yourself millions of other versions of it, but, like, I think we all know what it feels like when truth resonates with us. Mm-hmm. So you know if you're working too hard, you know if you're neglecting your relationships, you know if you need to eat better, or, you know, it's just like, you know. So if you will allow yourself to know your truth and practice your truth, then really all of the other tactical suggestions and all of the other motivational ideas will fall into place, because the resources are out there to pretty much solve any change that you need to make. But you have to know that you need to make it first, and then find that resource or that roadmap or that coach or consultant or best friend, accountability partner, whatever it is, to help you make those incremental changes and see the difference on the other side.
Oh, I think that's just such a beautiful note to end today's episode on. Know your truth, ladies and gentlemen, and practice your truth, because guess what? Your heart already knows. I'm afraid that's all we have time for today, but if you go over to abigailarchery.com/podcast, you'll be able to check out today's show notes, links, everything you need in order to click and connect with Tracy. Do pop over to iTunes, check out her podcast, Journey to There, hit her on social media, say hey, thank you for sharing your story, Tracy. Tracy, I want to salute you. Thank you for sharing your successes, but also your scars and your wisdom keys that have been priceless. Thank you for lighting up my world today, as well as others.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I've had a blast.
I'll catch you same time, same place next week for a fresh dose of motivation. And if this is your first time listening, welcome, welcome. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Motivational Monday podcast with career and confidence coach Abigail Autry. If you need a motivational boost in your life, visit abigailautry.com.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Motivational Monday. If this content is adding value to your life, our one big ask is that you go to iTunes, Stitcher to rate and review. Not only does it help us build our global community, in which we are committed in doing, but it also helps us get on even more amazing guests to share their knowledge with us all. Thank you guys for being a part of this uplifting community. And until next week, remember, you have greatness within you.